Good morning.
Good morning.
We've had a couple of Kairoses since I was here last. We have one coming up March the 27th through the 30th. I'll get the prayer chain to Rod soon so y'all can please sign it up. The last time we had the prayer chain with y'all's part and the part from the church I go through in Tahlequah, we had 90 feet of prayer chain, links this big. So it's pretty incredible. And when we bring it in and we circle that room with that prayer chain and we let those men know that people are praying for them, this last time it went 4.5 times around that area. It's probably this big. It went 4.5 times around that area. And also, if you're interested in doing the cookies, we take in about 3,500 dozen cookies. And if you're interested in getting involved, we always need volunteers to go in with us. We went on a recruiting deal several years ago to Stillwater, and the chaplain from the prison in Cushing, where I'm from, he went with us. And he got an opportunity to talk to the group, and there was a young man, I don't know, 19, 20 years old, and the chaplain said, "Pretend I've got a $50 bill. Who wants it?" And that kid was the first one to raise his hand. And he said, "Why?" He said, "Because it's $50. And he said, "What if I take an ink pen and I write all over it? Do you still want it?" And that kid said, "Yeah." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because it's $50. And he said, "Well, what if I wad it all up? Do you still want it?" And that kid said, "Yeah." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because it's $50. He said, "What if I throw it on the ground and I step on it? Do you still want it?" And that kid said, "Yeah." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because it's $50. He said, "You're absolutely right." And he said, "Who can make that $50 bill worth less? Not worthless, but worth less." And that young man said, "I guess the Treasury Department." He said, "Again, you're right, because they made it. And they're the only ones can make that $50 bill worth less." And he said, "Those men in prison are just like that $50 bill. They've been written on with ink. They've been wadded up. They've been stomped on. But they're exactly worth what God made them to be. And God is the only one that can make them worth less." And I can stand up here for hours and talk about Kairos. I love Kairos. And I can tell you what Kairos, what we do. But I have a friend named Roger Berry, and I met him 17 years ago at the prison in Cushing. Come up, Roger. Roger can tell you what Kairos does. I can tell you what we do. He can tell you what it does.
I wrote all this down because I, too, get in the weeds chasing rabbits. This is a beautiful church, beautiful place to worship. Y'all are very lucky, and I'm blessed to be here. My name is Roger Berry, and I'm here to speak on behalf of the Kairos Prison Ministry and how it has affected my life and what it meant to me as a participant. I'll try to keep my sharing and how it relates to my Kairos experience, but I'll give a little backstory on how I ended up at a Kairos four-day weekend. I've been an alcoholic and drug addict since the age of 15. I was raised in Catoosa, Oklahoma by two awesome parents. They worked hard to provide not only my basic needs, but to make opportunities available for my future. I hid my addiction through high school, but by the time college came around, I was in full-blown addiction. It had grown over the summer between high school and college from a habit to something I needed daily. So college was a short-lived experience. I just wanted to be back home doing what I'd been doing before. Fast forward, I went to prison at the age of 24. Let me tell you, for a kid from a small town, prison life was a shock. A person could still use drugs in prison, and I did. I did just shy of 3 years, and by the time I was released, I was primed and ready to jump back into the drug addict lifestyle. My parents tried. They bought a trailer home for me and put it on their property and got me a vehicle and a job half a mile from the house. It just wasn't what I was looking for. 3 months after my release, I was back in jail with new charges. After 2 weeks in jail, my father bonded me out. The next day, March 25th, 2005, on Good Friday, my father died of a heart attack at home. I was high that day and at home when it happened. My last memory of my father was his lifeless body as me and my mother tried to give him CPR. This should have been the turning point to get it together, but I was full of self-pity and selfishness that I used as an excuse to self-destruct and add misery upon agony to my grieving mother. 2 weeks later, I landed back in jail. I wouldn't get out for another 5.5 years. As I awaited sentencing in county jail, I was introduced to Jesus Christ and His loving grace. I set upon the Bible like a new addiction. I was broken, distraught, angry, frightened young man, but I knew there was hope in the Word. Due to my violent history, I was sent to the highest securities, Oklahoma State Reformatory. The majority of people at that level of security are never going to see the free world again. Violence is part of everyday life there. Prison at that level is tricky because you don't know, you don't want to be in a gang, knowing when to fight and when not to fight, what is respect and disrespect, and just how to navigate life on a daily basis. Two years later, on February 16, 2008, I was sitting in a segregation unit. I had two different gangs who wanted to see me either murdered or hurt. I was pulled out of my cell on a Saturday night, which was odd for that unit. I was informed by the on-duty officer that my mother had passed away and that I'd be able to use the phone. I just spoke to my mom earlier that week, and I was shocked to say the least. That day was the day I became an orphan. As I reflect on it, there's no words that can describe the loneliness and dismay I felt. 2 weeks later, I was diagnosed with hepatitis C. Alone in jail cell, all I had was God and His Word. After 3 months in SEG, I was transported to Cimarron Correctional Facility in Cushing, Oklahoma. A new start. This facility wasn't like the other ones. Yes, there were gangs and violence, but the staff had a better handle on it than other places. Gangs were separated from general population. 1 month into my stay there, I was talking to a fellow believer, and he said I should apply for the Kairos weekend. I asked him what that was, and he said people came in and told you about Jesus and feed you all weekend. That only 42 people were chosen to go. With 1,080 people in the compound, I didn't feel like the odds were very good. But sure enough, the list came out, and my name was on it. I was beside myself. Well, the time came. I didn't know what to expect. It was held in the gym. I was placed at a table that had my name waiting on the table, and here came the cookies, trays of them. Fruit trays. In prison, you can get an occasional orange or banana, and the duplex cookies they gave you with some meals, but nothing like this. Grapes, pears, trays with real fresh broccoli, carrots, and celery with ranch, all the coffee and lemonade you could drink. It just kept coming. That weekend was a blur. At my table that weekend was this big cowboy oil field guy. The definition of tough, Pat O'Kelly. As the weekend progresses, it can be a freeing process. There are different presentations done either by clergy or laymen that open the world of what true, unadulterated Christianity is. Pat gave a talk on forgiveness, and we did an exercise as a whole where we wrote down those we want to forgive on a piece of paper, rice paper, and then we place it in a bowl of water and they disappear. I watched this tough man genuinely transform, and it was at that moment I wanted what he had. Also that weekend, I met a great man of God named Beryl Hayda. This is a guy who could actually raise his hand about never lying, and it was amazing. The most Christ-like person I've ever met that wasn't clergy. Those 4 days were surreal, but every good thing comes to an end. Kairos didn't end for me that day. Every Tuesday, some of those same men came in to sing songs and share about our struggles, and we would share about our struggles and triumphs. These were the only visits I got in prison. People like Errol, Wayne, Roger, Pat, they became my family, something to look forward to every week. The beauty of Kairos is once you graduate, you can come back the next one and be on the team's servers. This is where I learned how to put Christianity into motion. The lessons of grace, servanthood, forgiveness, patience, and agape were learned here from these volunteers. You know, going through Kairos and learning what the word meant, you know, God's special time, and that weekend, it was just a turn in my life. You know, I lost everything, my mother and my father, and I was at the end and I was hopeless. And it was God's special time for me. My life changed at that moment, just through the friendships and the relationships I built. I was released from prison November 10th, 2010. I imagine everyone in here has known that one guy or girl who seems to have it all, who can't get it all together. All the pieces to making a great life, but for the world can't put them or keep them together. And watch is exciting and then devastating to the point of not wanting to watch any longer. That was me. There were two men that have watched my triumphs, failures, rebuilds, and just to crash again. What I learned through them is Christ is alive. He is real. He is in me as he is in each of us. I'm 18 months sober today. I help others today. I cheer on others today. I don't judge nor condemn. I show love to the broken, visit those who are in hospitals, give money to those who ask, give a ride to those who need it, encourage the discouraged, and live in such a way that others see Christ in me. And that's what I got from Kairos.